When April with his showers hath pierced the drought of March with sweetness to the very root, and flooded every vein with liquid power that of its strength engendereth the flower, when Zephyr also with his fragrant breath hath urged to life in every holt and heath new tender shoots of green, and the young sun his full half-course within the ram hath run, and little birds are making melody that sleep the whole night through with open eye, for in their hearts doth nature stir them so, then people long on pilgrimage to go, and palmers to be seeking foreign strands, to distant shrines renowned in sundry lands, and then from every English countryside, especially to Canterbury they ride, there to the holy sainted martyr kneeling, that in their sickness sent them help and healing. Now in that season it befell one day, in Southwark at the tabard as I lay, ready upon my pilgrimage to start, toward Canterbury, reverent of heart, there came at night into that hostelry, full 29 in a company, people of all kinds that had chanced to fall in fellowship, and they were pilgrims all, riding to Canterbury. The stables there were ample, and the chambers large and fair, and well was all supplied us of the best. And by the time the sun had gone to rest, I knew them and had talked with every one, and so in fellowship had joined them soon, agreeing to be up and take our way, where I have told you early with the day. A knight there was, and that a noble man, who from the earliest time when he began to ride forth, loved the way of chivalry, honour and faith and generosity. Nobly he bare himself in his lord's war, and he had ridden abroad, no man so far, in many a Christian and a heathen land, well honoured for his worth on every hand. Of mortal battles he had known 15, and justed for our faith at Tramissene, thrice in the lists, and always slain his foe. And he had been in Turkey years ago, lending the Prince of Palaty his sword in war against another heathen lord. And everywhere he went, his fame was high, and though renowned, he bore him prudently. Meek was he in his manner as a maid. In all his life, to no man had he said a word but what was courteous and right. He was a very perfect, noble knight. With him there went a squire that was his son, a lover and soldier, full of life and fun, with locks tight curled, as if just out of press. His age in years was 20, I should guess. In stature he appeared of middle height, and great of strength, and wondrous quick and light. And he had gone campaigning recently, in Flanders, in Artois and Picardy. And in this short space bore a gallant part, hoping for favour in his lady's heart. His raiment shone as if he were a mead, broidered with flowers fresh and white and red. Singing or fluting was he all the day. He was as lusty as the month of May. So fierce by night did love his heart assail, he slept no more than doth a nightingale. Courteous he was, humble, willing, and able, and carved before his father at the table. Also there was a nun, a prioress, and she went smiling, innocent and coy. The greatest oath she swore was by St. Loy, and she was known as Madam Eglantine. Full well she sang the services divine, intoning through her nose right prettily, and fair she spoke her French, and fluently, after the school of Stratford at the Bow. The French that Paris spoke she didn't know. Well taught she was at table. She would let no food fall from her lips. She never wet her fingers deeply in the sauce. With care she raised each morsel. Well would she beware lest any drop upon her breast should fall. In manners she delighted above all. Ever to use the ways of court she tried, and sought to keep her manner dignified, that all folk should be reverent of her. But speaking of her heart and character, such pity had she, and such charity, that if she saw a trapped mouse, she would cry, if it had died, or even if it bled. And she had little dogs to which she fed fine roasted meat, or milk, or dainty bread. How would she weep if one of them were dead, or anyone should strike it viciously?